Good morning. It's lovely to be able to share with you in the service this morning, and as we come to God's Word and I talk a bit about what I'm doing and have been doing, I just thank you for the invitation here to be with you. Can we read together from the Gospel according to St. Luke and chapter 10 and verse 25. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, commencing at verse 25. These are the verses of the lesson I'm sharing with the children. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and they went away, leaving him for dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite. And when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said. 'And when I return, I will reimburse you for an extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." We know, we trust that God would add his blessing to that reading of his word. Well, as I said, I want to thank you for the invitation to be able to come and share in this service this morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm David Surgener. I'm pastoral support worker in the Vine Centre just on the Crumlin Road, not too far from where we are this morning. I want to stress at the outset of this service that anything that I talk about my work, first and foremost, I want to give God the glory, because the glory is his and his alone. I want to say a massive thank you. Massive thank you to you as a congregation for your continued interest and support to the work of the Vine Centre over many, many years. For those who have volunteered and those who are serving as volunteers, for those who serve on our board, and you may or may not be aware that there are 3 members of your congregation who serve on our board. Nan Simpson is the secretary, Joe Fittis is the chair, and Tim Fitzsimmons is our treasurer. And we are indebted to the time that they give in serving this way to the centre. I want to say a massive thank you to you as a congregation. I noticed the notice already, and Colin mentioned it, about the Christmas appeal. Last year, we were able to help 6 adults, individuals who otherwise probably wouldn't have received anything else over the Christmas period. Two of which, actually, I was able to direct to other organisations who were providing Christmas dinners. We put out 58 hampers of toys and gifts, and through that we supported 99 adults, 19 plus years old, and 158 children between the ages from 0 to 18. We are only able to do that because of people like you in supporting us and helping us in this work. The Fine Centre began some 54 years ago in a house, and it was through the work of the minister's wife of Crumlin Road Presbyterian then. At that time, people were being put out of their homes and all kinds of things were happening. People didn't have a clue where to go or where to turn to. And so Mrs. Marshall required a house from the housing executive and opened that up as an advice office. It soon became a friendship house, and there was a deaconess of our church sent. And then later on, the work moved on to the Crumlin Road into a house just beside Russell Sellers, and hence the name, the Fine Centre. And then later in 2003, the building that we meet in was opened to serve the local community. The services that we provide each week are an advice service, after schools clubs, the Bullrush Daycare, the Family Support Hub, the Grapevine Lunch Club, the Healthy Living Group, the Homework Club, the Knitwits, that's what they call themselves, our small knitting group that meet on a Friday morning. Lifelong Learning, we have community educators coming in from the Belfast Met College, and they do classes within our building. Our Little Sparks Toddlers Group, and then the pastoral support work. What is pastoral support? Pastoral support at the Fine Centre is bringing people to the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ through a non-judgmental service of befriending, of listening, encouraging and support. It's just over 16 years from I actually began the role of pastoral support, having served 3 years before that as youth worker. It's frightening to think that I have just served over 19 and a half years within the Fine Centre. And I want to say another massive thank you, because without the help and support of this congregation, to which I will always be indebted, I wouldn't be still doing this work that I'm doing today. The support from this congregation has been absolutely amazing. Financially, prayerfully, and in so, so many other ways. Without your help, without your support, I wouldn't be able to help and support in some way something of the 75 names that I have on my pastoral care list. And how does this pastoral care happen? Through meeting people in their own homes, at the Fine Centre, visiting in hospitals, visiting in nursing homes, visiting even as on occasion within prison. being there for people in their hour of need and times of bereavement. Supporting people, listening to people and trying to help some way with mental health issues. Helping people with addictions and recovery. I'll share something more of that in a moment or two. And I am also responsible for looking after our senior citizens' lunch club on a Thursday. Pastoral support is offered to those in need, regardless of colour or creed. In Luke chapter 10, the lawyer asked, "Who is my neighbour?" And as we have just been reading, Jesus responded with the parable of the Good Samaritan. The list there, if you can see it, I have in some way supported every one of these neighbours in one way or another. Each one being an opportunity to be able to bring before them the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe not always well received, but opportunity just the same. And through that, I've had opportunity of sharing the Christianity and Discipleship Explored courses. The Christianity Ministries are piloting an illustrated Christianity Explored course at the minute, and I have been asked to help with that. It's somewhat different to the old format of Christianity Explored. At the present, I'm doing this with three people on a one-to-one basis. And I would encourage you to pray for those people that they will discover for themselves and come to know Christ as their Saviour. The Persons in Recovery programme is something that has developed over the years and is a big part of my pastoral support role. The programme began some 10, 11 years ago as a result of my meeting a gentleman who had a very severe alcohol and drug addiction. As time went on, I was to become that gentleman's next of kin. I didn't know that during COVID or at the beginning of COVID that I would spend 3 days with him in the intensive care unit in the Royal Victoria Hospital. That a couple of days later I would be organising and arranging his funeral. A few days later conducting that funeral. And a few days later climbing Scrabble Hill to scatter his ashes, because that was his wish, because that's where he played cowboys and Indians as a wee boy. I can tell you, I only wished he had played cowboys and Indians at the foot of Scrabble Hill and not the top of it. But you know, the remarkable thing is this. The first Sunday of lockdown, that gentleman was to be baptised. And unfortunately, it didn't happen because of COVID. And then he took so ill. But through working with that gentleman, I learned so much about addiction. And one of the first things I learned was to see the person and not the problem. To see the person and not the problem. And you know, the number of people that I have had opportunity to work with has been absolutely amazing. And I thank God for the compassion that he has given me. And through the programme, we hope to see the person come to faith in Christ. We seek to help the person in their recovery and on their sobriety journey. We hope to see that person recover through the program holistically, spiritually, socially, physically, intellectually, and emotionally. To give support to families when possible, to help the person come to a place where they can help and support others on their journey. I would encourage you to pray for those that I am working with, that not only will they be recovered and helped from their addiction, but that they will be released from this bondage that they find themselves in. That their lives will be saved and transformed to the glory of God. And I thank God this morning as I stand before you, I can say I have seen that happen. Will you pray for me? I know there are those within the congregation who do that. Will you pray for me daily that I will have the grace and the strength to be used by God to be his witness in this work he's entrusted to me? And that above all, that all the glory and all the honour would be his and his alone. I want to turn our thoughts to this parable this morning that we read together. We're told how that on occasion the expert of the law came to test Jesus. And he does so by asking a question. A question, incidentally, that all of us should ask with the sure prospect that each of us is going to die. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And being an expert in the law, Jesus draws him by asking another question. And he says, "Will you tell me, what does the law say? How would you answer that? How do you read it?" And someone has pointed out that Jesus didn't say to him, "Well, what does your rabbi teach you? Or what does your religion teach you?" But what do the scriptures say? And this morning, we can learn a lesson here, can we not, of how to measure what is right and what is wrong. And if we want to do that, because we hear so much in this world in which we live, to do so by using God's word. I have been reading some very, very disturbing stuff this week as to what Justin Mulby, Senior Bishop of the Church of England, has been saying. And this, by no means makes it right because Justin Mulby has said it. But when I look at it and when I judge it by God's word, I see the exact opposite. And if you're curious to know, you can go on to the Christian Institute website and read it for yourself. Very, very disturbing stuff. And he's leading people within the Church of England and they're hearing his voice. Let us be careful not to hear man's voice but that of God, even through his word. And so the lawyer quotes from the law, the Old Testament law of that we find in Deuteronomy 6 and 9. and Leviticus 19 and 18. And trying to justify himself when he says that I am to love my neighbor. And then he says to Jesus, but who is my neighbor? Hoping probably that that list wouldn't have been too long. Not imagining that Jesus was going to ever give the answer that he gave. And Jesus gave this answer not to teach him who his neighbor was, but to show him the error of his own way. And Jesus begins with that parable of the Good Samaritan. Beginning of how a man was travelling on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. This gentleman would have known that this was a notorious route for being dangerous and not a road that really many would maybe travel along on their own. He was attacked, he was stripped of his clothes, beaten, left half dead. Then Jesus said, a priest, one of your own church leaders, probably the leader in the temple. And he comes by and seeing the man, and was he thinking of his reputation? Well, I couldn't possibly. No, maybe he's dead anyway. And he goes on. He goes on his way. A man of exceptional high standing, and yet couldn't step low enough to help someone in need. He knew that law. He knew that law. Where did that come into play of loving your neighbor as yourself? Then the Levite who would come along, he was one who would have assisted the priest in the temple and probably a Jewish worship leader. And he comes along, and would he remember the bit of the law of loving your neighbor and helping your neighbor? Well, if he did, he didn't exercise it. Does God's word not tell us this morning not just to be hearers of it, but to be doers also? To be doers also. So he goes on. He goes on his way. And then the least expected comes along. The Samaritan. And he sees the man. Not only does he see the man, he does something about it. He does something about it. Because you see, the Bible tells us that as the Samaritan came along and Jesus used this word of compassion, this Samaritan man had something that the other two hadn't. And that was compassion. And the word compassion here means, and we describe something that is heartbreaking. That's what type of compassion this was. Something that would make you feel sick to your stomach. Something that wasn't just a, oh dear, help him kind of feeling. But it was something that, my heart hurts for this person. I want to do something for them. The very same compassion, and it's the same word used when Jesus had compassion on the leper that fell at his feet, seeking Jesus to help him. And as you read it, it's interesting to note, Jesus just didn't cure the man. He reached out. He touched him. The same compassion that when Jesus saw the crowds that were hopeless and were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, he sought to help them. To help them. The same compassion that Jesus had when two blind men called out to him to have mercy on them. He stops. He seeks to know what they wanted of him. Jesus would have known what they wanted. But he wanted them to know. He cared enough to listen, to hear. And so they were healed. This is the compassion that Jesus is describing that this Samaritan man had. And he goes, he sees, he gets down. He didn't look at a watch avail, I had one, and thought, like, I really must be going because I have to do. He stopped. He stopped to meet the need. He didn't ask any questions. Well, who are you? You're badly beaten. Are you Jew? Or are you a Samaritan? Or what? Where do you live? What's your social status? It didn't matter. It didn't matter. The man stopped. He cared enough. And as we read in the verses, that he went the extra mile. He didn't just bandage up his wounds and pour them with oil and wine and say, "Now, I hope that helps." He would have had to physically lift the man and put him on a donkey. This is the picture Jesus is showing us. This great expert of the law. I almost get the picture in my mind, you know. Jesus is saying he was prepared to get his hands dirty. To get his hands dirty and serving and meeting the need. And meeting the need of the one who needed help. Do you know, Jesus was teaching this man that as he sought self-justification, it stood and it meant for nothing. Stood and meant for nothing. It is God and God alone who justifies and who frees us from the guilt of our sin. I wonder at what point did the expert in the law think to himself, "I'm sorry I bothered. I'm sorry I asked." Do you know that question? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And friend, this morning, if you sit in this service without Christ as your Saviour, if you're sitting on your morals, if you're resting on your church attendance, if you're depending on what you would put in a plate or whatever, you know, does Isaiah 64 and verse 6 not make it very clear that all our own righteousness is as filthy rags? God's word, the Bible, reminds us that we've all fallen short of God's glory. We've missed his mark. We've all sinned. We've all sinned. And you know the compassion that Jesus showed to those he met on this earth is the same compassion that he showed as he hung on that cross for each one of us. You know, it was you, and I know you've heard it time and time again. It was you, it was I, that held him there. Because with one word, Jesus could have stopped it all. Could have said, "Enough is enough." But no, he died. He died in my place. with a love and with a compassion. And Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, says this: therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others in your relationship with one another. Have the same mindset as Christ. Do we love our neighbor? Do our hearts have that heart-rendering, stomach-churning compassion for them, regardless of color or creed, this morning? Perhaps the question that we need to be asking, rather than who is my neighbor, am I a neighbor? And I will not claim that thought to be my own. I got it from someone else, but it's a challenge, isn't it? Am I a neighbor? Jesus asked, which of the three was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert replies, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus replied, go, go, do likewise. And just as we pause for a moment to pray, do we need to come before God and pray those words of Psalm 139, 23 and 24? Let's pray. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, that we would seek to be a neighbor to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.